Good evening again. Happy to be here and happy to be here with you here at the chapel and for all who are joining us on Zoom. As you all know, we've been covering the parables of the Lord Jesus from the New Testament. And we've been doing this over the last several months and have a few more months to go. And it's been a tremendous blessing to learn from the Master, learn from his precious word, and especially in this unique style and way of how he speaks to his people, his disciples, through these parables. We are in Matthew chapter 13, as far as the parable that we're going to be discussing today, and it's the leaven in the meal. And I wanted to provide a little bit of a background before we go into the actual parable. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a series of parables, there's seven to be exact, regarding the kingdom of heaven. And up until this point, where we have this parable of the leaven, we have the sower and the seed, we have the tares and the wheat, we have the mustard seed, and now we have the leaven in meal. Something that I wanted to mention, just in regards to this whole topic that we're covering, regarding the parables, made me want to look a little bit more into the parables and read a passage from Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Here, Jesus graciously explains to his disciples the purpose, the very purpose of him speaking in parables. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." I was really encouraged in reading this verse as I was studying this parable, and just in general, going through this series of the parables. Three P's that came to me when I was thinking about this encouragement from this passage. One is purpose, two is power, and three is privilege when I think about the parables. First of all, purpose. Jesus uses familiar and common subjects and themes to explain deep and profound truths to his people. Power. Think about the parable that we're going to be covering today. It's one verse long. God has a way of speaking volumes in very little words. And then privilege. We read that last verse, verse 16 in Matthew chapter 13, which talks about how blessed his people are who are able to have the mysteries revealed to them, the unknown truths revealed, and it's to a select few, the true believers. And so we are in a place of privilege. Thank God for that. And with that, let's go into this passage. One more thing, actually, before we do read the verse, there's the whole aspect of the kingdom of heaven, and that's what several of these parables in Matthew chapter 13 is talking about. And I did want to do a quick definition of the kingdom of heaven as I've read it and studied in the Bill McDonald commentary, spent some time looking at some of what he put together from the scriptures. And so allow me to just read a couple bullets here. In regards to the kingdom of heaven, by putting together all the references to the kingdom in the Bible, we can trace its historical development in two aspects and five phases. And so in regards to the two aspects that he talks about, the kingdom of heaven, he calls it, we can look at it as a sphere in which God's rule is acknowledged by people. And in that sphere, you have two aspects. You have an outer sphere of those who profess, the people who profess an outward expression of the kingdom. And in that group, you have some true people and some true sincere believers, and you have some false ones, false professors. Then you have the inner reality of the genuine true believers. And so both are in that sphere, but only one is the sincere true believers. That's the two aspects of the people within the kingdom of heaven. And then there's five phases that he talks about. So the first one that he mentions is the Old Testament prophecies. The kingdom of heaven is spoken about in Old Testament prophecies. You have Daniel and Jeremiah, and you have references to the future upcoming kingdom of heaven. Two, you have the kingdom being present or at hand. Two verses that I'll read in regards to that. You have in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist saying, "Repent to all, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then you have our very Lord himself in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, repeating those same words, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And this speaks of the phase of the kingdom when Christ was here on earth. Then you have phase three, the phase of the professors that we just talked about, the professors, whether they're true or false believers. And this takes place during the time when Christ, after Christ ascends back to heaven, till the time when he returns or when we have the rapture. And several of the parables in Matthew 13 relate to that period. Then the fourth phase that the commentary mentions is the manifest kingdom during the millennium. And we have there the millennial reign of our Lord. Matthew 17, 1 through 8 references the transfiguration. And that's a picture of the coming glory of our Lord Jesus. And then you have Matthew 8, verse 11, which refers to many who will come from the east and from the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So you have a future millennial reign. And then finally, the last phase is the everlasting kingdom. And that's the great hope that we're all looking forward to. I do want to read a passage regarding that phase. And I'll take it from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this talks about some phases from historical context from the scriptures of the kingdom of heaven. And now we come to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. We have the kingdom of heaven being compared to leaven, a woman who took and hid in three measures of meal. That three measures of meal for a measurement, I believe, equates to about 50 plus pounds of meal until it was all leavened. So speaking of a very vast amount of this meal and the effect of this leaven on that meal. So interestingly enough, as I was studying this, I've always had my own take on an understanding from learning about this parable from an early age. But as I was studying it a little deeper to prepare for talking about this tonight, I was surprised to hear most of the opinions from some of the resources I researched in regards to the leaven. Now, it was a good reminder of just how the Word of God is real, it's true, and it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal to us what He's saying and to really truly understand it, as was mentioned earlier when the Lord was explaining the purpose of the parables. But it was interesting to see there was a completely different perspective than what I had. And by some really strong resources and teachers that I like to listen to. There's a good interpretation when it comes to the leaven, and there's a bad interpretation when it comes to the leaven. The first one, the good interpretation, is where leaven is looked at as an agent of change. And leaven can be likened to the gospel of Christ. And that's what some of the perspectives that I was researching when I was studying this. So the leaven being an agent of change and impacting and growing the kingdom. Then the meal is considered the world, and the leaven of the gospel is permeating throughout the world. Then there's the other perspective of leaven being bad and that interpretation. What does that look like? And so there's leaven, which represents sin. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, they refer to this as hypocrisy, false doctrine. And we see examples of this in the New Testament, and that sin entering the kingdom. So I'm thinking about both of these, and my take is the second one from what I've learned before. But I was thinking of how sometimes applications can be made. But the question is, when we look at the context of the scriptures, are we making the correct application? Maybe that application could sound good and be right to some degree, but is it really doing justice to the context of the scriptures that we're studying? Maybe this can apply, and I don't by any means mean to make a serious disease, the light of a serious disease, but I remember when I was young, I was in junior high in a Sunday school class, and one of the younger students, peers of mine, was asked to pray. And with good intention, the prayer, he was mentioning how he wants the word of God to spread throughout the world. And he used the example of, may it spread like cancer. And he had great intention when he was saying that, as far as the effect of spreading, but not necessarily the best use of the application there and the example there in how you wanted to spread. I kind of remembered that when I was thinking about this, as far as what I see leaven in the Bible and how I perceive this parable to read. So my position is the leaven is bad in that interpretation. The leaven always represents a type of sin or evil in the scripture, or often represents a type of sin or evil in the scripture. And we'll read a couple of verses here. First in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" And we see more references like that in Luke chapter 12, in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. We're told, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod." In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, you have Paul addressing the church at Corinth. Paul addresses malice and evil doctrine, which has entered the assembly. And then in Galatians chapter 5, he also brings up evil, leaven representing evil and false teaching in the church. So from the context here of this parable, we have it back to back with a couple other parables. You have the tares in the wheat. You have the birds nesting in the mustard tree, which has grown from that seed. And then you have leaven in meal. The three of those, to me, in context, talk about this negative connotation. Tares and wheat, the tares are the sons of the evil one. The enemy is the sower who's sowing bad tares within and weeds within the wheat field. You have the mustard seed, which grows and springs up into a large mustard tree. And now you have the birds, the external influence, sitting and taking form within that tree, as if it belongs, like the kingdom of heaven, and externally corrupting. And then you have the leaven in the meal, which would speak of an internal corruption, evil doctrine and heresies that are attempting to corrupt corrupt the kingdom. So overall, from this verse, I see the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So the meal represents the food of God's people or God's word. The leaven represents evil doctrine. And then you have the woman who hides the leaven in the meal, representing the false prophets and those who teach and deceive. Another reference for this aspect, the woman, we have Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, speaking of Jezebel when Jesus is addressing the church in, I think it's Thyatira. We had a message on this a few months back by our brother Bibin, and speaking of the Lord's point of view about this evil within the church. Let me read that passage, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. And so we see Jesus' opinion on the evil doctrine that's entering the church. In the conclusion of what I take from this parable, he's talking about the current kingdom on earth made up of true believers and just simply external mere professors. It's to me, it's not the leaven that's growing the church. It's God who causes the church to grow. But there is good and there is bad in this kingdom. There is false. We know from history that false religions have a very great, strong, and far-reaching effect into the kingdom. And then only God can truly discern and will eventually separate the good from the bad. Contrarily, Jesus reminds us of the narrow gate, and he speaks of that in Matthew chapter 7. But what do we take when we think about that? We have this struggle where they have the kingdom, and then you have all these negative influences from externally and from internally, but we do have the hope and know that God is the one who can discern and will eventually separate. Let me read this passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So some takeaways that I'd like to share from this passage. One, we need to be aware of the evil influences within the kingdom. Two, we need to be on guard and not be permeated, not allow this permeation of this sin to affect us. I think of Ephesians 6, where we read about the armor of God and how we are to use the armor of God and protect ourselves to stand against the wiles of the devil. And three, we have the great hope and the ability to know and trust that God sees the difference, and he will be the one to address everyone in righteous judgment. He will address the wheat, and he will address the tares. And for us who are believers, who truly believe in him and know him and have that relationship with him, we have that great hope that we will not be separated like the wheat, the tares, but we will be like the wheat. That is the passage that we have for today. It was the parable of the leaven, and may that be a blessing to us in all these aspects of God's sovereignty, his plan, his will and purpose from the very beginning, and the fact that he gives us this insight and this understanding through his word. It's not something that the whole world will see, as we mentioned earlier, but it's something that his people, that he reveals to his people. So thank God for that. I'm going to close in prayer right now. I would like to mention before we come up and actually go through the prayer request, my mother, I've been bringing her up recently. She's hasn't been doing too well, especially over the last few months. She has lost quite a bit of weight. She's not remembering to swallow her food anymore, and it's kind of going on a fast downhill as of late. She's about 70 pounds. I'm leaving to California tomorrow to go spend some time with her and see her and with my family. I'd ask that you please keep her and our family in your prayers. Our Father God, we're just so grateful to you that we could come to your presence in this manner. Come with a purpose to hear your word, to be encouraged by your word. And we pray and ask for your help for us just to understand and draw closer to you through what you've revealed to us in your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us and who guides us and helps us. And we know that it's only through your revelation and understanding in our lives that we will have a true understanding of what your word says to us. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for the time that we have this evening. We thank you for this ability to come before a holy, mighty, powerful, sovereign God with our petitions, with our prayer matters of praise, of joy, of thanksgiving, and of sorrow and of sadness and desire for you to help us in those areas and comfort us in those areas that we struggle. And we have many within this assembly who we have reason to lift our voices to you, asking for prayer for them, for those who are suffering, for those who are struggling, and of course, for thanksgiving for all that you've done for us, most of all for the great salvation that we have because of what you've done for us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his death and salvation in our lives. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We commit this time of prayer to you. The precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.